Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 51.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative McNeely. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative McNeely.
Before we pray, let's take a moment of silence for the people in Watauga County and the issues going on there. Police, we've got some casualties. We have some policemen that are either wounded or dead, some family members also. So let's take a moment for them before I start the prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Proverbs 4:10. Hear my, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Where thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of these instructions, and let her not go. Keep her, keep this life. Enter into this, not into this path of wickedness. Go not into the ways of evil man. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before your mighty throne. Thank you, Lord, for our many blessings as a country and state. I thank you, dear Lord, for giving us your Son, who without blame took our sins with him and sacrificed himself on the cross, so that if we believe in him, we shall not perish, but have eternal life. Heavenly Father, there is much unrest in this nation at this moment and in this state. I pray that you will touch our hearts and give us the divine wisdom to forgive those who may have transgressed against us as we have asked others to forgive our transgressions. We are all sinful creatures trying to become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. We must move forward this day to a new understanding of each and everyone's circumstances. Please teach us daily to love and honor you and our fellow man and woman. I pray for all those who serve and protect us, both here and abroad. Please keep them safe. Bless their families who make daily sacrifices for the good of us all. Lord, give us as elected officials the wisdom and discernment to govern wisely. I humbly ask all this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, is recognized for a motion. Recognize.
Apologize, Mr. Speaker, was not aware that was going to happen. But, Mr. Speaker, the journal for April 27th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
I was going to let you guys arm wrestle for it. Representative Hastings moves the journal for April 27th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the House, the clerk will read.
Tim Moore, Speaker of the House, April 29th, 2021. Dear Mr. White, pursuant to the process set forth in Rule 1.1b, I am terminating the modifications to the House temporary rooms contained in and pursuant to Rule 58.1. A copy of this letter has been sent to the Majority Leader and the Minority Leader pursuant to Rule 58.1a. I ask that you please notify the House membership that the emergency rule will no longer be in place as of May 3rd, 2021. Sincerely yours, Tim Moore, Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Noted, and the will be placed on file in the House Principal Clerk's Office. Ratification of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
The roller clerk reports the following bill due to ratify for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 113, an act to modify the right to appeal to termination of parental rights cases, and the following bill duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 164, an act to remove certain prescribed property from the corporate limits of the City of Greensboro and to remove the Capital and Satellite annexation for the Town of Rockwell.
Chapter bills will be noted. Chair is going to move the introductions of bills, resolutions, and the messages from the Senate to later in the session today in the interest of time. However, the chair also on a motion of Representative Miller, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to his friends who are visiting here today, Rhonda and Laney Watts, and congratulate Laney as well on her upcoming graduation from UNC Chapel Hill. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. Representative Hall is recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Calendar Operations of the House, committee report. House Bill 77, School Calendar Flexibility, more counter, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 92, School Calendar Flexibility, certain LEAs, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 93, required opioid antagonist education for opioid scripts, is favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 111, school calendar flexibility of the SFCS, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 116, school calendar flexibility of certain school systems, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 129, graduation school calendar certain counties, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 235, evidence, district court, speedy trial, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 319, COVID impact, Craven County school calendar, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 396, address pandemic learning loss systems, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 398, pistol purchase permit repeal, favorable.
Counter for next Wednesday.
House Bill 406, special separation allowance, 25-year Cleveland County LEOs, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 504, Weldon County Board of Education Compensation Allowance, favorable.
Counter for today.
House Bill 598, Restitution Sexual Exploitation of Minor, favorable.
Counter for today. Representative Hall, recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Calendar Operations of the House Committee Report. House Bill 602, UNC Legislative Priorities, HR reports, favorable. Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable. Committee Substitute Number 1.
Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable counter. Committee Sub Number 2 is counter for today.
Senate Bill 115, Student Parents Community Rights Act, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable counter. The House Committee Substitute is countered for today. Counter, House Bill 103, the clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 103, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the requirements for certain automatically renewable consumer contracts. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, members. I won't be long. It just indicates that if contracts have automatic renewals on them, the person with whom you are contracting must give you some advance notice in sufficient time for you to remember and cancel. It was it received favorable reports in both committees. It's very consumer friendly. I'd ask for your support.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 103 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, recognized to announce proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members authorize me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Do the following members wish to vote? Strickland, White, Rogers, Johnson, Davis. The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 118 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 103 passed the second reading, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 103 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 103, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Representative Rogers, the chair, did see the gentleman on the floor off to the corner of my eye before we close the vote. Does the gentleman wish to be recorded as voting aye on that previous vote?
Yes, sir.
Gentleman, be so recorded. House Bill 176, the clerk will read.
Representatives Lambert, McNeil, and Hurley, House Bill 176, a bill to be entitled Enhance SHP Debt Collection Abilities, AB, General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Who's handling this bill? I believe this is Representatives Lambeth, McNeil, or Hurley. Either of the members ready to take care of this bill? Gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to debate the bill.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, in body I was talking to someone else. Representative Lambeth did ask me to handle this bill for him today. House Bill 176 is to enhance the state health plan's debt collections abilities. This bill has been through three committees. It's been through state personnel, got a favorable report. It's been through pensions, got a favorable report. Got through rules and got a favorable report. Basically, what this is doing is just giving the state health plan some tools to collect, I think it's $1.68 million in debt that's out there that belongs to the state health plan. This just gives them some more tools and be able to collect that debt. I'd appreciate your positive support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 176 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
And Representative McNeil and Representative Destin Hall, if you'd like to vote, be a good time. Richardson, be recorded as an aye. House Minority Leader, Representative Reeves, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and 5 in the negative. House Bill 176 passes its second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 176 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 176, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 294, the clerk will read.
Representatives Brendan Jones and Bell, House Bill 294, a bill to be entitled an act permitting dealers to sell used vehicles issued as salvage certification without conducting safety inspection. General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
Gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a very simple bill. It actually does not change any kind of salvage laws. It's just giving a dealer permission to sell this vehicle without repairs or normally repairing anything. All parties have been in this matter, the CIADA, the NIDA, COPART, as well as IAA, and I would appreciate your agreeing support on this bill. It passed both committees flying colors. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 294 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To follow members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Representative Sokol, would the gentleman like to record on the vote? Clerk White, the machine, record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 294 passes second reading. We'll be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina, an act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 294 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 294 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 340, Clerk will read.
Representatives Bradford and Carney, House Bill 340, a bill to be entitled Advisory Council on Pans and Pandas, General Senator North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill is deeply personal to me. The bill is to establish an advisory council on pediatric acute onset neuropsychiatric syndrome called PANS. It also establishes the Council on Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorder Associated with Strep B. Chances are you have no clue what I'm talking about, because 3 years ago I did not either, until one of my daughters, Sophie, was diagnosed with PANS. Ladies and gentlemen, we have over 10,000 children, young adults in our state that are either undiagnosed or have not yet been diagnosed or are diagnosed that have PANS or PANDAS. 84% of the time this can be stopped and treated with a simple antibiotic, assuming that the problem is identified. The symptoms are severe. They're debilitating. I would never wish what my family went through on anyone, but my daughter is doing very well now. But 3 years ago, we had a normal 11-year-old child, and practically overnight, she changed into someone that we never could understand why. And that's the acute onset portion of this particular syndrome. North Carolina is behind the ball. We do not have the resources in our state. We have providers that frankly aren't even aware of this. This will put together an all-star panel of individuals who are involved in the field of medicine and understand PANS and PANDAS. 35 other states are already addressing this issue. I want to thank Representative Becky Carney for joining me on this journey. 2 years ago, this bill was brought forth by this body's only physician, Dr. Greg Murphy. It passed this body 114-0. I was on the sidelines 2 years ago, but it was that important to me that I traveled up here and spoke on the Health Committee about this bill. I have every confidence in the world this will get a unanimous vote. I don't want to belabor the issue anymore, but just know that young adults in North Carolina need this. They need us to be with them on this. Our children are counting on us, and so are families. I would urge you to vote green, and if you have any questions about this issue, you can talk to me, or I will send you to my wife, who is completely responsible for discovering this with my child, because frankly, I didn't know what was going on, so I give her all the credit in the world. So thank you for indulging me just for a few minutes, and I hope you'll vote aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question for the House. The passage of House Bill 340 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To follow members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Tyson wished to vote. Representative Reeves, House Minority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Representative Everett wish to vote on the bill? Clerk will light machine record the vote. 118 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 340 passed the second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 340 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 340 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. At the request of the chair, House Bill 367 will be withdrawn from today's calendar and put back on the calendar 36B. Gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce you to an outstanding individual from Rowan County. Mike Wimmer is the founder and creative mind behind Next Era Innovations. Mike is a profoundly gifted, forward-thinking individual who has his goals set on redefining the future. Mike has an extensive understanding of the coding and robotic world. He sees the next era in history beginning now with major advancements in the symbiosis between humans and artificial intelligent robots. Mike taught himself most of his programming and robotic knowledge through trial and error and online videos. Most recently, Mike had the opportunity to speak at the Mensa Annual Gathering in July 2018 in Indianapolis and again this summer in Phoenix. In September 2017, he attended the Now Robotic User and Development Congress held at the NERF Center on the campus of UMass Lowell, where he had the honor of speaking and presenting in front of the Congress. Mike was the winner of the Educational Application Development Award. He returned to Development Congress in 2018 as a technical instructor, teaching breakout sessions on database incorporation using a Now robot. Mike again won an award, this time for the most downloaded Now robotic app of the year. In July 2019, Mike was the first miner ever to be awarded a position and hired by the United States Special Operations Command. Mike attended a rapid prototyping event held in Tampa, Florida with the country's best and brightest professionals. At the conclusion of the week-long event, Mike was one of only five people to be awarded the Science and Technology Military Challenge coin. It was presented to Mike for outstanding contribution to the vision of the mission. Mike sees the world as becoming more complicated and confusing than it needs to be. He believes simple explanations are replaced with long, complex algorithms that aren't necessary. He plans on beginning a line of mobile apps that will help make the complex more ordinary, easy, and relatable to everyday life. On May 21st of this year, Mike will graduate from Rowan Cabarrus Community College with an associate's degree, and 7 days later will graduate from Concord Academy, earning his high school diploma. On September 14th of this year, Mike will celebrate his 13th birthday. Mr. Speaker, this concludes my remarks on my recognition of an outstanding individual, Mr. Michael Wimmer.
Members, on motion of the gentleman from Rowan County, Representative Warren, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mike Wimmer, who is also joined with his parents, Mark and Melissa. Would y'all please join me in welcoming? Congratulations. We certainly wish you all the best. Members, the chair is going to take a few bills out of order. I would ask the body's indulgence. House Bill 598, the clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 598, a bill to the entire net to clarify restitution for sexual exploitation of the minors. General Assembly, North Carolina, net.
The gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, what House Bill 598 does is create a new section to GS-14-190.117B. And what it will provide is that any defendant who viewed child pornography and was convicted of either a first degree, second degree, or third degree sexual exploitation of a minor must be ordered to make restitution to the individuals that was being exploited. Presently, North Carolina does not have this provision, but the federal government does have this, so this is bringing us in line with what you can proceed with in federal court. I work very closely with the Association of District Attorneys, the Conference of District Attorneys on this bill. They totally support it. Got a unanimous favor report in both the Judiciary One Committee and the Rules Committee, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 598 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, the House House Minority Leader is recognized to announce the votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following members will authorize me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Representative Elmore wished to record. Representative Hawkins, Smith of Pitt, and Dahl. Members wish to vote on the bill. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 118, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 598 passes second reading. We'll be read a third time.
Do you assume the North Carolina?
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 598 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 598, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 602. Clerk will read.
Representatives Hardister, Pickett, Arp, and Smith, House Bill 602, a bill to be entitled UNC Legislative Priorities, H.R. Reports, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is predominantly an agency request from the UNC system. It has a provision that deals with the exemption of finance, business, and auditing professionals from the North Carolina Human Resources Act. These are employees for the UNC system. It would consolidate and eliminate various reports that are outdated. It would make changes that would align state law with federal law as it relates to veterans and, you know, how they apply for tuition. We had a PCS that added in this morning, actually. I thought this was interesting. Representative Blackwell might find this interesting. The School of Science and Math, the Morganton campus, is looking for security, and they have found that they have an opportunity to enter into a contract with Broughton Hospital for security, and this would authorize that to happen. And also, I have to give a shout out to Representative Arp. He has a section in this bill that he kind of championed related to capital projects and how they are reported. We had a unanimous vote in the House Universities Committee as well as the Rules Committee, and I'd appreciate your support today. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 602 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To follow members, the official designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 119, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 602 passes second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 602 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 602, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 115. Clerk will read.
Senators Johnson, Sawyer, and McInnes. Senate Bill 115, a bill to be entitled an act to allow full capacity attendance stadiums in certain counties. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. Senate Bill 115 is the Kickoff College Sports Act. This local bill would allow the universities in the area to have college football stadiums to have occupancy of 100% when they kick off football season this year. And if you go through the bill, you'll look in the last section of the bill deals with language that has been before this body before. This language actually allows Governor Cooper to come in individually if there's a health concern or health issue that's popped up at those individual stadiums. It actually still gives him the executive authority to shut those down individually. You voted on this portion of the bill when we did the school reopening bills. So this bill was to simply open up our college football stadiums all across our state, and look forward to any questions you have.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question for the gentleman from Wayne.
Representative Bell, gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Bell, have you ever driven more than, say, 20 miles to attend your favorite college football team's game?
Have I driven more than 20 miles?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask a second question, Mr.
Gentleman yield?
What team were you going to see, and how far did you drive?
So since my university doesn't have a football team, I consider all the universities in the state a favorite team. So, it depends on the game, depends on the year. East Carolina, Chapel Hill, NC State. I haven't made a chance to go to Appalachian State yet, but hopefully this season I'll get to go watch them play.
Thank you. May I address the bill, Mr. Speaker?
The gentleman's recognized and debate the bill.
First of all, I'm impressed with the fine political ability of Representative Bell to claim affinity with every university in the state all of a sudden. I should have thought of that one before. The reason why I asked him that question is that the provision of the bill that allows the governor to shut down the individual stadium doesn't make any sense in the context of a virus, and it doesn't make any sense, it makes even less sense in the context of a football game, when we know that in this state people will drive all the way across the state to go see their football team. So just shutting down that one stadium because there's an outbreak in that local area doesn't stop the spread of the virus, because you're going to have people coming from the other side of the state to any of the games. So I think that we probably know where this bill is headed, but I just needed to make that point, and I do appreciate Representative Bell's great fandom. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 115 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially allowed me to announce on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, no. Brockman, no. Cunningham, no. Graham, aye. Lucas, no. Martin, no. Terry, no.
Clerk lock machine, record the vote. 77 having voted in the affirmative and 42 in the negative. Senate Bill 115 passes second reading. Will be read third time.
General Senator North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 115 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 115, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, we have a number of the local bills, and Representative Pierce, the gentleman, will take the gentleman's motion in just a few moments, but we'll take care of a few other matters first. We have a number of local bills that can be grouped together for one vote in the interest of time for a short roll vote. They're going to be House Bills 77, 92, 111, 129, 319, 396, and 504. There were two local bills not included in that because they have some amendments to be run, so they'll need to run separately. Do any members have any objection to those bills being grouped together? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read, please, House Bills 77, 92, 111, 129, 319, 396, and 504.
Representatives Bowles and McNeil, House Bill 77, a bill to the Entitlement Act to provide additional flexibility to Moore County schools in adopting the school calendar. Representative Howard, House Bill 92, a bill to be entitled an act to provide additional flexibility for certain school systems adopting the school calendar. Representatives Zinger, Lambeth, Baker, and Terry, House Bill 111, a bill to be entitled an act to provide additional flexibility for Winston-Salem Forsyth schools adopting the school calendar. Representatives Hall, Lambeth, Carter, and Stevens, House Bill 129, a bill to be entitled Graduation School Calendar, Certain Counties. Representative Tyson, House Bill 319, a bill to be entitled an act regarding COVID-19 impact of Craven County School Calendar. Representative Kristen Baker, House Bill 396, a bill to be entitled an act to address pandemic learning loss to allow additional adjustments to the school calendar in Kannapolis City Schools and Cabarrus County Schools. Representative Ray, House Bill 504, a bill to be entitled the Weldon City Board of Education Compensation Allowance, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Here's the passage of the following bills. House Bills 77, 92, 111, 129, 319, 396, and 504 on a block vote. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bills 77, 92, 111, 129, 319, 396, 504, having passed second reading, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bills 111, 129, 319, 396, and 504 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 77, 92, 111, 129, 319, 396, and 504, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Representative Hall recognizes sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Calendar Operates of House Committee Report. House Bill 605, Voters' Right to Know Act. Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2. Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1.
Committee substitute number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2 is placed on today's calendar. House Bill 116, Clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil and Hurley, House Bill 116, a bill to be entitled an act to provide additional flexibility to certain Board of Education in adopting school calendars. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Jump from Randolph, Representative McNeil, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If it's all right with the Speaker, there is an amendment, I think, if you want to take it first.
Representative Hall is recognized to send forth amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, most amend the bill on page 1, line 29, by inserting the phrase.
Members, this just adds Cleveland County to this bill, and I have spoken to a citizen of Cleveland County by the name of Tim Ward. He's okay with this. Please support it.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 116 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 116, having passed second reading, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 116 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 116, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 406, Clerk will read.
Representative Hastings, House Bill 406, a bill to be entitled an act providing special separation allowance for certain Cleveland County law enforcement officers who attain 25 years of service. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, recognized, debate the bill.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, this is a special separation allowance for Cleveland County. However, in the committees, we offered the opportunity for other counties to join on if they wanted to. And in the beginning, there was an actuarial note that was inaccurate, but and we caught some errors and had that corrected. And if it's in order, Mr. Speaker, I stand down and let the representative bill.
And the chair's been informed that I believe there may be some other amendments being drafted. So yes, what we may do is just displace it, let those other amendments get drafted.
If it pleases the speaker, thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll do that this time. Representative Bell, we'll come back to yours. We have several more coming. Gentleman wishes to withdraw the amendment. The bill is actually back before the body for the purpose of Representative Bell withdrawing the amendment. The amendment will be returned to the gentleman. And now the bill is once again displaced. House Bill 605, the clerk will read.
Representatives Winslow, Dahl, Hawkins, and Mills, House Bill 605, a bill to the Entitlement Act to equip voters with resources of information about voting process prior to entering the voting place. General Assembly of North Carolina. The
gentleman from Franklin, Representative Winslow, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also, thank you, Representative Gray, Hawkins, and Dahl for sponsorship on the bill. Members, this is a bipartisan bill that puts information in the hands of voters quickly and easily at the polls. It requires a placard to be posted at all polls that gives a QR code, website, and 800 number to provide the information on voting laws quickly and easily to the voter. 800 number will be staffed with polls open to 30 minutes after. It passed elections and rules unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm available for questions.
What purpose? The lady from Wilson, Representative Cooper Suggs, rise.
Mr. Speaker, to ask the sponsor a question.
Representative Winslow, does the gentleman yield?
Yes.
He yields.
My question deals with Section 2, Section C. Who is eligible to vote in the election and what goes on this placard, this information card? And does a person who has been convicted of a felony, with their rights being restored, would that information also be included on this card?
I don't know how to answer that question. It's directly information provided by the Board of Elections, so it's not going to have all the information. It's going to say that you have the ability to vote. Okay. Yes.
A follow-up question.
Does the gentleman yield to additional question?
Yeah. Can I follow up on the last question?
Certainly. The gentleman may respond to that earlier question if he'd like, and we'll come back.
The Board of Elections is actually going to set that information that goes in the placard regarding that.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to debate the bill.
Lady is recognized to debate the bill.
We know that our nation was founded on the rights for every citizen to have a voice in this government, specifically in the right to choose the people who represent and govern. One group of people who've been disenfranchised from voting in elections are people with felony convictions. And when we look at information to be placed on this card from the state board, those persons have regained their rights. We know that in multiple states, having a felony conviction, they're not permitted to vote, but we know that North Carolina laws are not as strict. While people seeking their sentence for a felony conviction cannot vote, once the sentence is completed, they have their rights fully restored. And it's important to know that this does include probation and parole, and that's part of this eligibility requirement. Who is eligible to vote? So that information we need to look at is on that card. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
At one point, and I'm not sure what the situation is now, but once you serve your sentence and you apply for to be back in the queue as a voter, you could get it. But I don't know whether that law is changed. I think you have to apply anyway. But assuming that you have applied and been approved, then you'd be eligible to vote. But perhaps something on the placard about that might be useful to them, because a lot of people fall in that category. Thank you.
For what purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
I would like to debate the bill. Debate the bill, I suppose.
Lady has the floor.
Infer information. So, the State Board of Elections, I know we set the laws, but they then institute those laws, will design this placard to make sure that it has all the information that anybody needs. If it's not noted on the placard, they are free to have three different ways to communicate with the State Board of Elections, plus a dedicated 1-800 number so that they can call. I agree with Representative over here that is a very important, and that is one of the reasons why Representative Winslow and the three of us have worked on it, is to ensure that people know their rights. The situation, all of you know it, you're standing out there and you're canvassing and asking people to vote for you, and you get a voter who comes up and says, am I supposed to vote? Am I allowed to vote? Well, I'm not a judge. So you take that person and you go and see the judge. The judge there is not quite sure how to answer the question, or they're busy, or they have an issue that they're trying to take care of, and so that person doesn't get heard. This is a way for people to get heard. And we purposefully did not put every single thing we could think of on this placard so that the State Board of Elections would be able to put what they felt was the most important. And we all know that the State Board of Elections wants everybody to vote. So I hope that clears up the confusion. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you for Representative Winslow, Mills, and Dahl for all coming together for this common sense bill on the behalf of voters. One of the passions of my life is voter education and voting rights, and this puts us squarely on the path of being able to ensure that everyone does have the right to know. One thing that I wanted to ensure that everyone saw is that not only will the placards be placed conveniently for voters as they're coming up to the voting place, it'll also have a QR code that one can use for their phones that can easily allow it to be accessed, and the Board of Elections will also have a well-maintained website. And that's in addition to the 1-800 number that anyone can call, and any voting rights or advocacy group or any local person that's looking for information can push people towards that 1-800 to ensure that everybody understands what their rights are, what their eligibility is, and all the actions that you need down to how to get to your polling place. And so I want to ensure that everyone realizes that this is a huge opportunity. And I do agree with Representative Linda Cooper Suggs about that special population, and we absolutely will work with the BOE to get that in, and to ensure that that is abundantly clear. But we have worked incredibly hard to ensure there was a QR code, a website, and that toll-free number so that people will have more access than they do now. That's exactly what we want. And I ask for your green vote on this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose the gentleman from Iredell, Representative Mills, rise?
To debate the bill.
Sorry. Gentleman has the floor.
Members of the House, what the bill does, it just provides information to the voters. It does not change our current law. It just directs the state board to provide more information by a toll-free web, or by website, by toll-free telephone number, and also a barcode. So it's good. As a former member of a local board of elections, I can tell you people have all kind of questions. This is going to help hopefully direct people on where they can go to get their questions answered. So I ask that you please support the bill.
Question for the House. passage of House Bill 605 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Destin Hall, aye. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
President Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none the negative. House Bill 605 passed the second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 605 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 605 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. The gentleman from Watauga, Representative Pickett, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to try to hold this together this time. I received some terrible news from Watauga County today. We've had a situation. At first we thought it was a teenager, but through further reports, he was an older gentleman. He killed his mother and father today. Sheriff deputies responded to a welfare check. He ambushed them, shot three of them, killed one. The second one's holding on by a thread. I'm attempting to get as much information as I can. They're still trying to get the man out of the house as we speak. So I please everybody in this house, please keep those folks in your prayers. And if I could, Mr. Speaker, could I excuse for the rest of the votes, please?
Representative Pickett, please convey to your constituents and your folks there in Watauga County that they are in the thoughts and prayers of the members of this body, and certainly understand your need to want to get back to your home county. So the gentleman will be excused for the remainder of session. For our purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise.
I ask to be recorded as an aye vote on House Bill 598.
Gentlemen, be so recorded. The chair did see the gentleman right at, as we, the question was there, but then I think the gentleman stepped off for a minute. So without objection, the gentleman will be recorded. Having voted aye. House Bill 459, the clerk will read.
Representative Baker, House Bill 459, a bill to the entire act authorizing the Division of Motor Vehicles to issue a permanent registration plate for motor vehicles owned by Water and Sewer Authority. General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Lady from Cabarrus, Representative Baker, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was brought to me as a request from the Water and Sewer Authority of Cabarrus County, and it's in relation to what appears to be just an oversight in a previous law. In 2012 session, House Bill 989 actually revised the North Carolina General Statute 2084 to allow permanent registration plates to be issued to motor vehicles owned by state, county, and other government agencies. And the issue here is that this particular authority does not actually fit easily into a county or any of the categories set forth. And so we spoke extensively with the bill sponsor, also got fiscal notes both here and locally, and no significant fiscal impact. So I appreciate your support on this bill.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 459 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Destin Hall, aye. Reeves, aye. Representative Reeves, House Minority Leader, recognized to announce proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And check one thing real quick. And the following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 118 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. House Bill 459 passes second reading. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of the North Carolina Act.
Question for the House. Is the passage of House Bill 459 on third reading? Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 459, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 486, the clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore, Bell, Hall, and Torvik, House Bill 486, a bill to be entitled an act to nationally recognize assessment of high school achievement and college readiness to replace the end of course test for grades 9 through 12 and to establish new career readiness indicator. General Assembly, North Carolina.
What purpose, Jim from Wilkes, from Ms. Elmore Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate. And I have a request if we could deal with the amendment first.
Okay, gentlemen, recognize and send forth the amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Elmore moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 13 to 14 by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentlemen, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment was brought to me by staff. The proofreaders realized that there was one word missing, I-N, so I would appreciate your support on the technical amendment.
Further discussion, debate on the amendment. If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A-1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. As have it, the amendment's adopted. Representative Elmore, the gentleman now has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This chamber has been very supportive in last session on dealing with testing reforms with a focus on trying to reduce standardized testing on our children and really leveraging the testing that we use to the maximum extent possible for our data collection to deal with our decision making. This is another step in those testing reforms. What this bill will do is that it sets a date of 23-24 that we would eliminate the EOCs, which are end of course tests at the high school level, and we would be utilizing one nationally normed test. So the student is currently taking four of these. That would be taken down to one. The reason why it is put out, you have to go through a process because this deals with the federal requirements. Other states do use one test that's nationally normed for that accountability measure, so it is doable, and other states are doing it. So it sets out a procedure for DPI to go through this process, dealing with an outside evaluator, matching our content standards, etc. Now, the second part of the bill deals with the elimination of the work keys as a career readiness indicator for the feds. Currently, we use a standardized test to determine career readiness. So basically it's a score that the kid receives on the test. What this would do is move more to an indicator that deals with, for the career readiness at the federal level, that deals with credentials. What type credentials are the students earning at the high school level? This is more specific training in the actual work fields that are available. So it's not a foundational type thing. It is a specific training. With this shift, that would take place in 23-24 also, which gives time for the development of the specifics and the guidance to be sent down from DPI. I think this is a positive move for the workforce needs that we have because we're finding more and more that the skills are more specific that the kids need as they move into that transition. So I would appreciate your support on the bill, and I'm open for any questions, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the bill.
Gentlemen, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I told Representative Elmore when we debated this bill in Education Committee, he and I share an interest in trying to reduce the burden of testing
on teachers, students, and their parents. This bill, though, I think creates some unintended consequences that it would be better to deal with in another way. If this bill goes into effect and we stop the end of course tests, that will then mean that we will also have to redo our principal pay scale, because we passed a principal pay scale a couple years back that bases part of their pay on how their students are doing on their end of course tests. And so we'll have to go and redo that. It also would force us to rethink the Advanced Teaching Roles program that gives teachers additional pay if they take on a leadership role based on proven success in the classroom. And without the end of course test, we don't have a way to prove whether they have that success in the classroom or not. Further, we already have one national assessment that we already give every student in North Carolina. Every North Carolina public school student takes the ACT in 11th grade. We pay for them to take it. And so this isn't clear. I mean, it sets up a study of, is that the national assessment, or are we going to use another assessment? If we're going to dive into this, because of all the ramifications that it has, we should dive into this not with this little piecemeal approach, but thinking about how we do high school assessment altogether. We did that a couple years ago when the State Board of Education led us through the process of responding to the new federal ESSA guidelines and said, this is how we're going to do testing and assessment under the new guidelines. And it was a big stakeholder process that this body then endorsed. Representative Elmore and a few other colleagues have introduced a new assessment bill that would have us look at our entire assessment process again, that I would be happy to support, because I do think we should think through all of these things. I just don't believe the best way to do it is through this one little sliver in the bill that will start pulling out the thread on this sweater that will eventually unravel so many things. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Question for the bill sponsor.
Who is the bill sponsor? Representative Elmore. Gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Representative Elmore. Really appreciate you bringing this forward. And my first question is sort of, you know, off of what the representative brought up just quickly. Do you think we have time to implement this in essentially 2 years? 23-24, do you think we have time to move and do all the things that he mentioned in that amount of time, not only sort of just changing the assessment, but then also all the downstream effects of this change?
Yes, I do. And I was going to debate the bill a second time, but I'll save that and I'll kind of answer your question through this way. I went to Oakwood Baptist Church as a kid, and they had a sign committee. Okay. And that's been a long time. And my dad just got back on the deacon board. They still got that sign committee and they're still talking about the sign. And that's been like 25 years. I mean, I think if you take this approach that what this does is sets a goal. We're moving towards this. We will get the pieces to fit together as we move towards the goal. But if you don't have some sort of goal, and you are talking to all of these different wafts of people, you will be here 20 years later having the exact same conversation with no reforms with it. So, yes, I feel comfortable with the timeline, and I feel comfortable with this goal setting and kind of the process that it's set up.
Thank you. Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman, yield.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. My second question is around sort of diversity in students and achievement. We know that the current system has, you know, what many think are embedded biases towards students of color. And how do you think that changes by moving from that process of EOC to this current assessment?
I would say that the benefit is you're using a nationally normed test. And what this is looking at, we currently use ACT. It also looks at SAT to create that type of competition. But these folks, they have developed these tests to deal with situations nationwide. So I would say that based on that, you're not having self-created tests over here in this department. You're having nationally normed tests, which could play into that. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Speaking in support of the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to put it short and simple, which is how I best understand, is that
I'm in Gaston County. My neighbor to the north is Lincoln County. But you know what? I'm not really concerned on how Gaston County schools compare to Lincoln County schools. No offense, my brother, but that's, I just really don't care. But here's what I do care about. I care about how North Carolina schools, or more importantly, how Gaston County schools compare to schools in Alabama and Tennessee and Texas and Georgia and New York and California. That's what I care about. That's that national comparison which tells you that we are achieving either better or worse than the other states in this great union. That's the big part of the bill. The second part of the bill has gone past its time. What we need is a working procedure so kids that decide that maybe higher education isn't necessarily their path by their and their parents' decision, but to enable them to come out and earn a living, support families, and have that white picket fence like all the, you know, the American dream type thing. So that's exactly and very simply what the bill does, and I'd appreciate your supporting the bill.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
May I ask the gentleman from Gaston a question?
Representative Torbert, gentleman yield.
Absolutely.
He yields, Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Torbert. Representative Torbert, your point about the national comparisons is partially, I think, why we pay for every student to take the ACT exam so we can make that type of national comparison. If I remember correctly, when a few years back when we were debating the Common Core standards, I think that you were opposed to the use of the Common Core standards, which were a set of national standards. And now in today's remarks, you're asking for a national, you're advocating for, we want a national test. Can you explain to me how you're support, like why are you supporting this as a national test? And this is important to you, when you didn't want to have national standards that we're trying to assess students on?
Certainly, and obviously by looking at us, we come from separate generations. So when I went through school back in the age of the dinosaurs and the abacus, the learning process was different. Let me give you an example. One of the national things that went around when my child was going through the process was called whole language. And what that did, although it was the best thing since sliced bread nationally at that time, and everybody was going to get into it, and it was going to be the best thing ever come down the pipe for education. She started bringing home papers of spelling words, and half the spelling words were spelled wrong, but she had an A or 100 on the piece of paper. And in asking her, how is that when this word's spelled wrong and this word's spelled wrong, were you able to get a 100 or an A? And they said, well, the teacher says, as long as it sounds close to it or looks close to it, we're okay. That was the national flavor of whole language being taught to my daughter. So I started looking into it. And just because a national sweep comes through the nation where money is provided through different LEAs to implement this process or that process, doesn't mean it's the best process. So when you're asking me why I was not in support in what was brought down the pipe for national years ago, in looking at it, I didn't think it was the best way to educate our children, especially the math, simply probably because I learned from a different way. But why I support national now is because we can test against each other, and we can all be falling behind measurably. But against each other, we're doing better than, I might be doing better than, Gaston may be doing better than Lincoln, but collectively, we're doing a whole lot worse than South Carolina or Tennessee or Georgia. So my focus is on the outcomes of state versus state or my county versus another state. I think that's going to give us the best solution and the best outcomes for our kids if we want to have them in that top ranking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I debate the bill a second time?
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that Representative Torbert's argument for national testing, if we want to be able to compare ourselves to how other states are doing, is exactly why we pay for the ACT. But his argument that we don't want to be falling behind is also why we pay for and administer state-administered tests like the end of course, because you don't want to have within your school building, within your school district, or within your state, some classrooms that are teaching at a much lower level than the one next door or in the next county over. And the national exams give us the ability to compare ourselves to South Carolina.
but they don't give us the ability to compare our teachers to the next teacher in the room next to them. And that's why we really need to have a system that has both types of testing and not just one. Thank you.
For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Hunt, rise?
To speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill eliminates the work keys component in Part 2. This is very important to connect high school students who have mastered the foundational skills necessary to succeed in a profession or trade with North Carolina employers to fill job opportunities across a wide spectrum of industries. This allows these students to be recognized with the NCRC, which is a nationally recognized portable work readiness credential that is recommended and recognized by almost 4,000 North Carolina employers. So I urge you to vote against this bill because of Part 2. We cannot put our children in CTE at a comparative disadvantage. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
To debate the bill a second time, Mr. Speaker. The
gentleman has the floor.
I appreciate my colleague from Chapel Hill, and we talked about some of these issues in the Education Committee, and I do want to address some of the comments that were made. Yes, we do have a pay scale that for our principals that is based on performance of their school. We've had to hold that harmless because of COVID. That is not an issue to change that type of indicator for them from an EOC performance to the performance on the ACT and set a metric there. We've got 2 years to deal with that issue. I also would like to address the reference to Common Core. In the bill, it says that we are going to look at our North Carolina standards and how they align to the test. That doesn't mean that that's in one particular grade level at the high school. That can mean from freshman, sophomore year, junior year, and pulling the different pieces from our own curriculum that we've developed to see how it fits with those tests. That's the reason why you have the outside evaluator on it. And on the representative from Mecklenburg, I appreciate her bringing this up, and she brought it up in Ed, and I will give a similar response to it. I'm not being critical of work keys in this, not at all. I think that work keys has served its purpose. But as you know, in the past decade, the workforce has changed. The workforce is demanding a more specific skill set. I'll give you an example. The Retail Association, just as an example, is looking for a credential for people to develop retail skills to where they know what customer service is, how to deal with that. The workforce is demanding those specific skill sets. It's gotten beyond just having a foundational knowledge base. We've got to have more specific and give those opportunities to our kids. This will allow for that to move in that direction to where we can have those course offerings at our high schools that we need so we don't lose any kids. And I think with Corona here and the reaction to Corona, we could be at a critical mass with that type student. That we could see an increase in dropout rates because of this. They're working in different jobs. This is the time to start making this move, and we can do it in a two-year period. The vote you're making today is basically, do you support a litany of tests to collect data at the high school level, or do you just support streamlining that program to make it specific to where it's one test that a kid takes instead of counting the ACT five tests that they're taking, or and more specific workforce training, or you're giving a test that deals with foundational skills. And as a teacher myself, on the teacher part, on the growth of the teacher, at the high school level, you teach English 1, you have a batch of kids, they move on. It's not the same kids. So how are you accounting for the growth of the kid in that English 1? You're not. You can at the elementary level because there's a progression. So that model there doesn't fit either. So that's your vote. Are you wanting to streamline the test, take some of the burden off the kids, and get them some better training? And I appreciate your support on the bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker, rise?
To speak to the bill, sir.
Lady has the floor.
So I sat and I listened to both sides. I listened to the debate and the need for a national norm test. I also understand that we need to also look at adding to the work keys, because part of the issue is that, yes, we may need students that need customer service skills, but can that be taught as a layered skill? And also, 2 years, my experience has been that we don't give enough time to implementing such a large scale change such as this. So I'd like to see it pushed out. We actually do some work, more work on this, get some more input, and then roll this out. It's a lot of work that needs to be done. Alignment is an issue. Understanding how to align the curriculum to what the students are expected to know on those tests are important. That's a large undertaking. I know that the superintendent is looking at various ways to make sure that we're aligning that. And so I would just say that at this time, this would not be a good bill at this time. I think we have a little more work to do on this, and I think that we should push out the time for when we want to implement this to give us enough time to work with the people in the field, to work with the principals, to talk to students, and then create a stronger bill that's more comprehensive and more inclusive of what our needs are. Thank you.
Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Elmore, is that the man speaking? Yes, is that, yes, sir. May I ask a question of Mr. Elmore?
I apologize. Representative Elmore, gentleman, you?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask, did you check with the people at SDPI, State Department of Public Instruction, on this before you launched this idea?
Yes, I've talked with the deputy superintendent, the director of CTE, and also the testing director to work out the timeline, to work out the vision from the CTE department and the vision from the deputy superintendent. And the superintendent likes this bill because it moves it in this direction.
May I ask another question?
Gentlemen, yield. Yields.
Yes.
What did that gentleman that you spoke to think of the timeline?
They felt very comfortable with the timeline and that it was attainable, especially the testing director. She said, we can do this in this amount of time. Yes. So they did not feel rushed with it.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
May I speak to the bill?
Gentleman has floor, debate the bill.
You know, education is a complicated business. It's gotten more and more complicated since we all went through. And I took a lot of tests, I'm sure as you did when you came through school, took the SAT and these various tests and so forth. And these instruments have been tried over the years. And I think when we launch out into something new, it's something that we should do cautiously, and particularly when it's not in addition to but in lieu of what we're now doing. And so it's not that I'm against change. I think change sometimes, it may be good, it may be darn good, but I'm just a little nervous about it. And I think I'm going to not vote for this bill because I just don't know enough to satisfy my gut that it's better in lieu of what we now do as opposed to an addition to. I think if we're in addition to, I wouldn't have a lot of problem. I guess it'd be more test time. But in lieu of, it raises some real questions that I personally can't be satisfied with right at this time. So with all due respect, thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
to ask the bill sponsor one last question.
Gentleman yield?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
He yields.
Thank you, sir. And this one is along the lines of in Section 2, Part C, where it talks about the ability to consider incentivizing schools to engage in partnerships with local businesses to meet those local community needs. And that's, I think that's incredibly laudable to make sure that they have the relevant experience to meet those needs. But one thing that concerns me is I represent RTP. And we, were part of landing Apple and a few, Google and Amazon and a few other places. But that's not the case for someone who lives in my home county of Beaufort County, right? And making sure that yes, they can meet those local needs, but also how does this encourage them or allow them to take part in being trained or getting experience in the jobs that are really funding or really pushing North Carolina forward and that are well-paying jobs? So I wanted to see if you could respond to that related to that section.
Sure. Yes. I appreciate you bringing up this point because this is a point that we're trying to work through with the change here, okay? You talk about the county that your rural county that you represent or where you're originally from. I'm in that kind of situation, okay? So what is the business climate of my community and how does the school relate to that business climate? Okay, because these are kids that most likely, majority, will stay in our community. That's where they're going to work. So how do we link that with the needs of my area, which is very different than RTP? Areas around RTP, I'm hoping, like with the opening of Apple and this change in vision, that you might see in their schools things like introductory coding, programming, things of that nature to help support that. But as with anything else, education is power. So a kid might be at that stage where they are having to take the CTE in a particular thing, but they want to move forward into the community college or the university to make steps further. I actually think this would help with a lot of the workforce needs in rural North Carolina to help better address it to where we have a strong workforce. My area, I will say, and not being critical of my area, but if I had to produce 200 qualified employees at this moment, I don't think I could produce them. And we shouldn't be like that in rural North Carolina. So I think that this can help address that need. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 486 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. House Minority Leader Representative Reeves is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And if I may have one moment.
Sure. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To follow members have officially designated me to announce vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, ready? Gentleman,
yes.
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To follow members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, no. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, no. Terry, no.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 77 having voted in the affirmative, 39 in the negative. House Bill 486 passes second reading. We'll be read a third time.
Councilman of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 486 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 486 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate and ordered engrossed as well. House Bill 616. The clerk will read.
Representative Torbert, House Bill 616, a bill to be entitled an act to remove certain barriers related to the fast track replication of high quality charter schools, General Assembly, North Carolina, and X.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this bill is just simply a clarification for the replication statute for public charter schools. Why do we need this clarification? Well, I don't think it was ever the intent to discourage great charter schools from replicating in poor, underserved, or inner-city regions. Current replication criteria and statute work to dissuade good charters from replicating in needy areas. I'll give you an example. A charter organization with all A's and B schools, but one inner city D is denied the right to replicate. They have an incentive to close the D school so they can replicate some of their A schools. And if they have an A and a B schools, they would not risk putting a replication in a needy area, which might take a number of years to catch up. We should be focusing on allowing them to replicate and let them work intensively to bring that initial D school up to a B or an A school. Such punitive criteria are denying needy areas the possibility of attracting a good and proven charter program. Only new charters with added risk of success and abilities will locate in low-income at-risk areas. The goal is we want high-quality charters to locate in poor, underserved areas and not have their ability to replicate their high-quality schools taken because they have taken on a school in one of those areas. Current policy stops replication of high-quality schools when they locate in underserved inner-city and rural county impoverished areas and cannot immediately bring those schools to acceptable levels of academic achievement and growth. In most cases, it would take 5, maybe 6 years. Those are years in which the charter school management growth is completely stalled due to the performance of only one school. I hope you can support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand for any questions.
For what purpose the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
To speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The lady has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I rise to in opposition to this bill, and I'll tell you why. I don't know how many of you all served on the school board around the time that I did, but it was right around the time that charter schools were being created, and we were being led in a good way. I embraced the idea of charter schools. But though I think that Representative Torbett's heart is definitely in the right place in terms of helping those impoverished schools and school systems, I'm not sure that this is quite the way to do it. If we were to do what we were told that charter schools would do in the very beginning, and that is to use them as laboratory schools where we would get really good ideas so that we could then put those ideas to work in the traditional public schools, that would be one thing. But we have not done that. And so what I would like to see us do more of is fund traditional public schools and not necessarily try to replicate a charter school when we have impoverished school systems in our state right now, today. The other thing that I think we need to think about is the idea that if we try to replicate a charter school in a community where there's racial diversity, you're going to see parents moving their children out of that school and into another school, and you're going to see, again, the problem that we've been already experiencing, that's segregation in our schools. So while I think that you are definitely, your heart is in the right place, I know that I want to see improvement on all levels, but I can give you an example locally where a charter school has worked tirelessly to integrate their school. It's not happening. But so why would we want to make another charter school that makes segregation even more prominent? So for those reasons, I will have to oppose this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I want to thank Representative Torbett in front of the body, not just because he sits right beside of me. I did that already, for bringing forth great legislation. I think good ideas get real infectious, and I think good management is also infectious. But simply denying the opportunities of these good ideas and these good management practices to not go forward and to not spread out to all children across our state would be a mistake. My child goes to a charter school, and I don't normally get up and stand and talk about that, because really that's our family. But we believe in school choice, and we believe in school choice for everyone. Matter of fact, I helped champion a charter school within distance of our home in my district, and I got a lot of questions as to, why would you do that? Are you not happy with your charter school? And I said, it's quite the opposite. We're ecstatic about the school that my child goes to. But I also believe that that same choice should be something that everyone can participate in. Every child, every parent, everyone in education. And to say that we don't learn, that charter schools have failed to be that laboratory to find new good ideas and to then utilize those good ideas is not true. Because in my county, Lincoln County Schools and Lincoln Charter School work very closely together. As a matter of fact, when Lincoln Charter found ways to build buildings on their campuses, and they are growing, they continue to grow, they have two campuses, Lincoln County Schools, I helped make sure that those folks were talking to each other and finding those new ideas, and now Lincoln County Schools is building schools at a much more efficient way of using the dollars. So it's not as if we're not sharing those ideas. So to have that statement said and to say that the charter school experiment is somehow a failure and we're not using those ideas, that is not true. That's absolutely not true. And so I encourage this. I think the bill is a very good bill. I think it's an opportunity for students across the state and for parents to have those choices and for all schools to become better. Because when we learn from those new ideas and we implement those new ideas, everybody does well. And so I want to make sure that they do. I think this is a good bill. Please vote for it.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 616 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, House Majority Leader, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Hall, wish to vote. Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, no. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, no. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 86 having voted in the affirmative and 30 in the negative. House Bill 616 passes second reading. We'll be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina, now.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 616 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. I suppose no. Ayes have it. House Bill 616, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 93, Clerk will read.
Representatives Sasser, Moffitt, and Adcock, House Bill 93, a bill to be entitled Request Opioid Antagonist Education with Opioid Scripts, General Assembly of North Carolina Enact.
Gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 93 is a bill that requires opioid antagonist education with opioid prescriptions. The bill requires that each healthcare practitioner who prescribes an opioid medication to a patient to provide education and offer a prescription for an opioid antagonist for that patient under certain circumstances and certain purposes, and it requires the same for the pharmacist that receives that opioid prescription from the prescriber. And I stand for any questions and ask for your support.
Further discussion, debate? Not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 93 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To follow members have officially designated me to announce them on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. House Bill 93 passes second reading. Will be read a third time.
Your assembly is no kinder next.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 93 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 93 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 406. Clerk will read. I'll strike that. That has been read. 406 is back before us. Representative Bell, is the gentleman ready to send forth his amendment?
Yes, sir.
Clerk will read.
Representative Bell moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 3, by rewriting the lines to read.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Kelly Hastings extended the invitation for other counties to join in this bill. And this amendment would join Wayne, Moore, and Rutherford County on this bill. Thank you, sir.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Amendment A1 has been adopted. Now back on the bill, further discussion, further debate on the bill. The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, will recognize debate the bill.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, very, very briefly, and I was just going to explain to the body that the reason this has Cleveland County on it is because people from Cleveland County requested it. But I did not leave out the county that I live in, Gaston. I offered it to them, but I think some of the other counties are still analyzing it. But this works for Cleveland County and the counties just mentioned, and I just wanted to express that we did not leave any option for any counties to join if they wanted to. Thank you.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 406 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 406, having passed second reading, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 406 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 406, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. Representative Pierce, would the gentleman like to be recognized for a motion? Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I've submitted a motion in writing to the clerk. I move that Rule 20E, Rule 22B, and Rule 24C be suspended. That I may be recorded on votes during last Thursday's session when I was not present and would like to be recognized to explain my motion.
The motion is properly before the body, and the gentleman has the floor to explain the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Thursday passed. There's a certain thing that is human error. Sometime our LAs are not familiar with all that we do on the floor in the different process with proxy voting and absentee when we're not here to get excused absence. And this is just a human error. I agree with all involved that it's something that we have not, and it could create a problem. I get that. But I've been here 17 years, and I make every attempt to vote to be in place and do the things that I need to do to represent this body and the district that I serve in. This last Thursday, there was a lot of people involved in what happened. The speaker, he had to make a decision on the spot about what was going on. Representative Reeves, and others had to make a decision. Once I found out that it was going a different direction, I contacted this body immediately to let them know that my vote should be proxy votes, and that Leader Reed had permission to vote on my behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, this was merely a human error, and I don't want to charge my LA with the mistake because they have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things they have to do. They do not understand the terminology of what we do and what happens in here. So all I'm asking, I know that it's Will it create a problem? I've been told that it will create a problem, what I'm asking for today. And I understand, I get that, but it was human error. In this body, some of you are going to run into situations also where situations like this could come up. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a human error. I've been here 17 years. I understand the workings of this body and what you should or should not do. This was merely a human error, and I would ask for your support on this, that you would allow me the opportunity to vote on the bill. It's not to change any votes. Most of the votes was the bills passed last week, and it was done. And I know that it's going to be somebody that's going to have to speak on this as to why they should not, but I'm only asking you as a veteran member of this body to allow me the opportunity to vote on the bills from last Thursday past. That's all I'm asking for. It was merely human error. That's all it was, nothing more, nothing less. So I would ask that you would allow me that opportunity, but if not, I thank you anyway for hearing my appeal.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise.
To debate the motion.
Gentlemen, has the floor to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, as the rules chair, I think it's my obligation to speak to this motion just to make sure the body understands the context of the motion that we're going to have. And I'm not expressing an opinion on the gentleman's motion, but I do want to remind the body of the tremendous amount of work that it takes the clerk to change votes, and especially when we're talking about this many votes at one time. This motion in particular is unprecedented in that it suspends three different rules and we're changing several votes. I believe the gentleman's mistake was honest, and frankly, we'll probably vote for his motion. But I also recognize we're in unprecedented times with proxy voting, and we're getting ready to probably end proxy voting here in the next week or two. At that point, it becomes much more difficult not to object to motions like this and changing several votes when members don't vote. So as you vote, keep in mind that this is an unprecedented motion. It's going to be a tremendous amount of work for the clerk.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise.
To debate the motion.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, and I side with Representative Pierce and understand the concern, but this exact same thing happened, I believe it was last week or week before last, with Representative Rogers. And we had to get in contact with him, and I basically had to tell him that he had to have an excused absence because the form was not properly put. We've been trying to manage the proxy vote system. I'm so glad it's coming to an end because now we've got to work three members on a motion on our side, and Representative Reed has to do the same thing. So this is very problematic, not just for the clerk, but for a number of us. And if this door opens, my concern is then Representative Rogers has an opportunity to come back and do the exact same thing that happened. So I'm still debating on how I'm going to vote. I understand the situation. I just ask everybody to vote their conscience.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise?
Just wanted to assure y'all, however you vote, I'm not going to ask to change any of mine or put any in there, so don't let that influence you whatsoever.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgarner, rise?
Speak on the motion. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am not going to change any of my votes at this point or ask for anything, but I understand that mistakes happen, and Representative Pierce and I used to be neighbors down on the first floor, and he's a good man, and he wouldn't say what he's saying if he didn't mean it. And so this is a tough thing. I understand that we may or may not want to do this. I understand both sides of it, but I'm willing to help him out on this one.
For what purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
To see if the gentleman will yield for a question. Representative Pierce.
Representative Pierce, gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir.
Representative Pierce, I think at times we all miss votes for being out of the room or whatever. I'm just curious as to why it's so critical for you to want to register all of these votes on that day. What's the critical need to make this record change?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's not to, because I was going to stand, I'm not changing a vote. I'm only voting on those votes. Many of us, I think, Representative Nelson, I'll call her Nelson, has never missed a vote, and I think all of us pride ourselves on not missing votes when we can. And I think, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the leadership for the proxy. It allowed people to vote. So, I mean, we opened doors for members to be able to vote. I mean, I didn't create that. So many people have taken advantage of it one way or the other to either be here or not to be here to vote. And if the opportunity is there for us to be able to vote, surely we're going to we're going to do that. And that's not to say anything about anybody, but that's all it is, just to be able to be recorded that I voted on those bills. But let me clear the thing. It's not to change any vote. I want to say it's not to change a vote. It's merely to vote, to have the opportunity to be registered as, on those votes. Thank you.
And members, let the chair just say this. This is, Representative Pierce did mention, bring this up to me, and we talked about it a couple of times. And, of course, I mentioned it to our clerk. And the reason that there's been more explanation on this is because I've had a conversation with Representative Pierce and just felt like it needed to be understood, because this is, we don't know of a situation. This happened maybe 10 years ago when a former member who's no longer here did this. And so, I will tell you that Representative Pierce is one of my favorite people here in the chamber. He's a nice man. He's a good fellow. We try to keep him to switch parties, but so far I haven't been able to do that. But all right. So. It's one of those things and I want to make sure the body understands this, because, I've told Representative Pierce, I have no objection, to this motion, because I do understand the gentleman's been here a while, and this is the first he's asked of this. And so, but the other side of it is, and it's good we probably just flesh this out, maybe at least going forward, is I hear complaints from both sides of the aisle when we start the whole vote changing thing. This is a little different. But I did need, I talked to the clerk, and the clerks have a really hard job. What they have to do when it's changing the vote, we think of that's no big deal. They have to literally pull all these things, redo these. There's several hours of work that's just involved in it. So, I feel like part of my job and my duty as the speaker, serving you all, and of course working with our clerks, is to make sure that everything's out there. So, just know that this is going to result in that, and that the clerk's office has some concerns, because it is unprecedented in that respect. It happened 10 years ago with a member who's no longer here, who had changed a series of votes. It wasn't proxy, so it's not exactly on point, but the net effect was the rule was put in place to prevent changes like this. But I certainly believe Representative Pierce, when he says there was a miscommunication, I do. There's human error. That's the way it is. The question is, do we open the door to motions like this happening the rest of the session? And we simply can't do that. If we do it this one time, it has to be understood that this is not creating a precedent of doing this ongoing, or else the amount of work that the clerks have to do is a lot of work, y'all. I don't know how else to say it. So with that, just chair feels like duty bound to report that, and even hate saying that, because I do like Representative Pierce. I wish I could just say, there we go, we're done, but have a duty, I think, to report that. So, body may do what it will. The chair certainly has no objection to it, but certainly want to make sure that we get that in there and we understand. For what purpose, the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and that's just to speak on the motion. The
gentleman has the floor.
One, I would let Mr. Speaker, that even though we won't make an offer for Representative Pierce in a trade, I bet there are a couple of members ready to trade me, so... Representative Arp, if you can get him a printer, I think you can get me. So, but with that being said, I do want to clarify. I mean, one, that we'd be changing the votes that happened that day. Representative Pierce is not changing his vote because he did not have a vote enter. And I do want to make sure that's clear. Two, in fairness to Representative Pierce, he did go through efforts that day to try to correct the problem. And we have all worked really hard to try to make this proxy voting work. And so understand, I've got a lot, especially with Mr. Clerk. James has really, really gone through a lot to try to help us through this process. It's a tough process. But I also don't feel that Representative Pierce asked for this lightly. His request I would equate to, for those of you who watch football, Bill Parcells was being interviewed one time when he was still with the New York Giants. And they said, well, Coach Parcells, it really seems like that you have different rules for Lawrence Taylor than you do everybody else. And he said, yes, I do. And I think that's kind of where we are here, is that Representative Pierce is a 17-year member. He's not somebody who does this lightly. And so I would ask that you keep all that in mind when you make a decision. But I, as a speaker, especially with my situation, I know exactly what Mr. Representative Pierce's circumstances were that day. And so I would not expect anybody on my side of the aisle to be able to replicate those circumstances. And so with that being said, I would hope we're not thinking that we're setting a precedent. We would ask you to support the member.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Ainslie, Representative Shepherd, arise.
Mr. Speaker, since Representative Floyd's not here anymore, who can we get to call the question on this?
Thank you. Well, there are a lot of lights. I don't know if members feel strongly to speak to this point or not. What purpose, gentleman from Lee, Representative Sauls, rise.
Speak on the motion.
Gentleman's recognized.
First of all, Representative Pierce is a dear friend of mine, and I most likely will vote for him, but I would like to know what kind of man hours, and I know, James, you may not be able to say exactly, but when we leave today, they're going to be here for hours. They're always here hours after we leave. I would love to have some kind of an idea of what kind of man hours are we looking at to do this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
They can't tell you exactly how many. They got to track down some of the bills. I think all these bills actually are in the Senate, so they have to get them back there and do it. So, for what purpose, Gentleman Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Inquire of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the chair's opinion, would an affirmation or affirmative vote on this motion imply affirmation of the proxy voting system?
No.
Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to make a motion that Representative Pierce buy lunch for the clerk and his staff to make reparation for this, if I may.
All right. Let me just put you. You've heard the gentleman's motion. Is there any objection? All right. Hearing none, so ordered. The motion's allowed. So. And so the chair advised that Representative we would do this. So just again going forward, chair, of course, the proxy voting is ending today. Will actually be, I guess, the last day of the proxy voting. But again, the chair would urge, and this is not directed at Representative Pierce at all. This is kind of moving past that. Just going forward, for members to be very diligent and careful about votes, because we do get into situations where votes are held and then folks want to change their votes. And so we want to make sure we can avoid that as much going forward. And again, it's no skin off of my teeth, but I do feel a duty to make sure that we you know, recognize the work that happens with our clerks on that. So, I hope there's no other motions on that. If not, we're going to move on to, I believe we have one other bill. House Bill 235, Corker Reed.
Representatives Art, Blackwell, Smith, and Bell, House Bill 235. A bill to be entitled Evidence District Court Speedy Trials. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Jump from Union, Representative Art, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. I'll be brief. A little over a year ago, when the COVID virus hit, I remember driving to my office in downtown Monroe when everything was shut down. We were classified as an essential worker in construction and so forth, and we had to close up some stuff. And I remember how eerie it felt. Everything was shut down. One thing that's downtown Monroe is our courts building. It was shut down. It was eerily quiet. Couldn't remember another time since maybe 9/11 when it was just felt so odd. Well, this bill, we had a backlog of cases in district court even before COVID-19, and when COVID-19 hit and shut down the courts, it really forced us to look at our procedures and processes and how we're going to be able to catch up. And what this bill simply does is that it allows remote testimony. It allows forensic and chemical analysts and each person in the chain of custody of evidence produced by the analyst to provide real-time, remote, two-way audio and video testimony before district court using state-of-the-art process. And this allows it in district court. It does not cover juvenile cases because district court is the court of record there. And so it does preserve the defendant's right to appeal to superior court, and it's a process to be able to handle this backlog and speed up and change our process to a right to a speedy trial. And with that, I stand for any questions because I think I'm the only one standing in way of recess.
For what purpose, lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise.
Sorry, I'm standing in the way, too. Ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Arp, gentleman yield?
Yes.
He yields.
Representative Arp, I understand the bill, and I think it has a lot of good merit. We do have the constitutional guarantee of the right to confrontation. What I'm worried about after watching forensic witnesses testify, and they will testify, and they will look down, and they will look up and testify, and then the defense attorney will jump up and say, are you testifying from your notes? And they will say, yes, I am. Stop. May the defense attorney review the notes. So with the virtual, that's hard to know if an expert is, in fact, testifying from his own notes, someone else's notes, something else. Is there a way we can ensure that won't be violated and the right to confrontation will be assured?
Thank you for the question. It's a great question. We've tried to balance the constitutionality of there, and there's nothing different than when a judge orders for other reasons, even now, to be able to use remote testimony. We believe that we're going to put in the state-of-the-art system to accomplish this. You're going to have video, remote, real-time, both looking at the judge, the analyst, everybody's going to be able to see everybody, audio, and be able to respond to that. Even in cases where it's allowed now, those issues are present, and this doesn't change whether or not that issues. We hope to make it better.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 235 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. President Bell is recognized to announce the proxy votes for the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Lambeth, aye. Representative Willis, aye. Thank you, sir.
Representative Reeves is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have authorized me to enter votes on their behalf. Representatives Alexander, aye. Brockman, aye. Cunningham, aye. Graham, aye. Lucas, aye. Martin, aye. Terry, aye.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 104 having voted in the affirmative and 11 in the negative. House Bill 235 passes second reading and will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 235 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 235, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. The gentleman from Johnson, Representative Strickland, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
As all of you have been made aware, Lena Langdon, wife of my predecessor, former Representative J.H. Langdon, Jr., passed away in the early hours of this morning. Ms. Langdon leaves behind her husband of 67 years and their daughter, Amy. For those of you who served with J.H., know how he adored his wife and leaned on her. I ask that you please keep Amy, J.H., and the entire Langdon family in your thoughts and prayers during this difficult time. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Very briefly, Mr. Speaker, 39 years ago, my wife Evelyn and I were married on May 1st. We will not be in session on May 1st. She occasionally listens in and notes that other members have remarked on the occasions of their anniversaries. So I wanted to be sure she heard me say, happy anniversary, darling. Thank you.
Court members, chair directs that House Bill 687, short title Interbasin Transfer Amendments, be withdrawn from the Committee on Wildlife and referred to the Committee on the Environment. The serial referrals to Judiciary 4 and rules remain. For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I have a dilemma that I have to solve and make a decision. If I still have the meeting on land development tomorrow, I will be the only one there, and we can't have a quorum of one, so that meeting will be postponed till next week.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, rise?
For a brief moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
20 years ago, I think I did some of my best sales work. I convinced my high school sweetheart to be my bride. And we've been married 20 years. We lived in two states. We've had four children, some pets along the way, and six houses. And as of late, she's actually working. We're working together at one of our companies, which has been a new experience and a really good time. She's done a great job. So she tunes in frequently. And so I do want to tell her happy anniversary. I love you. And both of our parents have been married over 50 years. So while we're not there yet, we are well on our way. And I want to say I love you. So happy anniversary, honey.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgardner, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And today happens to be my daughter and son-in-law's anniversary, 3 years, and they've already got one child, my granddaughter, and another one on the way. So they've been busy in 3 years. And I did serve with Representative Langdon. He's a fine man. I'm very sorry about his wife. And He was an interesting man to talk to around here and gave me good advice on several occasions.
For what purpose, gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, rise?
I'd like to change my vote on the Pierce motion.
Denied. For what purpose, gentleman from Rockingham, Representative Carter, rise?
Announcement, please, sir.
Gentleman has the floor.
The meeting on family, children, and aging will meet next Tuesday at 3 o'clock in room 423.
For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered, and the lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. I know it's late. I just wanted to draw attention to the fact that Friday is the National Therapy Animal Day to recognize all the exceptional therapy animals who partner with their human companions to bring comfort and healing to those in need. Millions of visits per year in settings such as hospitals, nursing homes, schools, and hospice facilities. Just think it's important to applaud therapy animals and their human handlers on National Animal Therapy Day. So, thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise?
For announcement, Mr.
Chairman. Has the floor.
The Committee on Transportation Policy will meet next Wednesday, 10 a.m., and room 1228. Please be prompt. We have a lot of bills.
What purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Harris, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to wish my seatmate, Representative Butler, a happy birthday. Representative Butler, much like the passage of time, will not yield. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
The Freedom Caucus will meet in room 2226, Wednesday, 12 noon.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Just a reminder, Committee on Finance will meet tomorrow at 8:30.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
A point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, as you go through your elected career, there's many milestones and memories that will stick out in your mind. One, of course, is the first day that you step foot in this chamber. Second is, you know, the first day you pass the bill and what that bill is. And in my mind, the third milestone will be the official end of proxy voting. April 28th will live on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for officially ending this journey that we've been on. I will no longer get to speak on every bill and announce votes, and I want to thank the clerk and his team for everything they've done to manage this proxy voting during this pandemic.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
And members, the one referral, then Chair has a couple comments. Senate Bill 171, Chair directs will be withdrawn from the rules, referred to the Committee on Local Government, and then Finance, and then a favorable rules. So where we are, just to make sure that I think the members know, but want to make sure since this is publicly broadcast that the public knows as well, we have disposed of an immense number of bills the last few weeks. We also, of course, had the State of the State address this week, and so that has allowed us to conclude our voting business on the floor today so that a session tomorrow will not be necessary. Additionally, it does appear that the Chair wants to allow the committees to use Tuesday to get a great deal of work done, and so that would allow us to move into a lot of votes on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Crossover is not until the following week, but what members should be aware of is that the next 2 weeks, once we start taking votes, there will be a very busy schedule. We may have to stay in session a little longer than we normally do, so members are going to need to be prepared for longer days. But one thing that this speaker has tried to do is to maximize members' times while they're in Raleigh. And there have been times in this chamber as well as the other chamber, and those who've been here a while know this, where you would see the bill spaced out so that there would be recorded votes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And this chair does not believe that that truly makes sense to just space them out for the sake of creating work on those days, because as a part-time legislature, the chair is aware that members, many of you have other jobs. And those even who don't, and even those who do, want to take a lot of that time to be back in your district where you can take care of matters with your constituents, meet with folks in your community, and take care of other matters that need to be done at times that we are in session. So with that, it is the intention of the chair that there would not be any votes. Of course, no votes on Monday, but no votes on Tuesday as well. But again, committees are going to meet. The chair has authorized all committees to also meet remotely. That way, because of the constraints of some of the rooms, members may participate in that, and the committees may meet remotely, and the votes may be conducted in that way under our rules. But on Wednesday, when we resume our normal business, again, the members should expect a probably lengthy calendar with multiple committee meetings, with a lot of bills going through Wednesday, a lot of bills going through Thursday. In fact, I would anticipate that next Thursday, we would probably go later in the day, probably to now. Normally we try to adjourn early in the day on Thursday, but please do not plan on that next Thursday. Chair expects that Thursday will be a full and robust day. The next week, which I believe is the week of crossover, we'll advise next week, of course, where we're going to be on that week, but we may actually have votes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that week. So that will be a very busy week as we seek to get bills from the House to the Senate. So members are encouraged to keep their schedules flexible and to be able to commit to full days on that.
And then once we get on the other side of crossover, the pace would probably slow down once again. But I'm just really proud, first of all, of the hard work of all of the members of this body, of the committee chairs, because you can compare this session to many other sessions, and it has really been efficient in getting things done, particularly with, by the way, we're dealing with COVID and all of the restrictions there in place. So I want to thank every one of you for your commitment to be here, to work hard, to put the hours in that I know you're putting in to see that we're able to get the work, the good work done for the people of North Carolina. Representative Bell did this already, but I'm going to do it as well. I also do want to thank our Sergeant at Arms staff, our clerk staff, and then of course our partisan staff and our nonpartisan staff for the central staff for the hard work they've done. Those of you who've been here a while understand a lot of the mechanics and behind the scenes. Many who are watching right now may or may not, and newer members may or may not fully appreciate it. But when we see these bills that are come up and they're put before the floor, these bills represent hours and days of work by the time they make it to this body. So I've had a question before about, for example, how, you know, a bill gets presented and a member stands up and speaks for maybe less than a minute and then it passes. That's not an accident. That's a result of hours and hours and days of work before it comes to this step. And the other reminder is how many bills get filed that don't get taken up for various reasons. They either don't have the support or whatever else. So, I think it's worth saying, I think it's worth taking a moment to recognize the amount of work that's involved with getting this legislation to the point where it is. And so for the next 2 weeks, I wanted to thank the staff because in the next 2 weeks, we're really going to be working you guys pretty hard. But please join me in thanking our staff for all their hard work that they do. So without any further notices or announcements, seeing none, the gentleman from Representative White, Chair Saul Hurley. For what purpose the lady from Johnson, Representative White Rice?
Health will be meeting at 10 on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other further notices or announcements, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, April 29th at 9 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Pierce, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, April 29th at 9 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned.
Introduction of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Representatives Brendan Jones, Bell, Sane, and Hollister, House Bill 692, restricts certain vehicle modifications.
Referred to transportation and favorable rules calendar, operations of the House.
Representative Moffitt, Bradford, Zilka, and Martin, House Bill 693, common carry ABC permit.
Referred to ABC, favorable rules.
Representative McNeely, Faircloth, Miller, and McNeil, House Bill 694, first responders, medical power of attorney required.
Referred to health, favorable rules.
Representatives Lofton, Howard, Reeves, and Moffitt, House Bill 695, modify charitable solicitation licensing laws.
Referred to state government, a favorable judiciary one, a favorable rules.
Representatives Lofton, Howard, Reeves, and Moffitt, House Bill 696, various changes to Nonprofit Corporation Act.
Refer to state government, a favorable judiciary one, a favorable rules.
Representatives Alexander and Galliard, House Bill 697, the Prison Resources Repurposing Act.
Refer to state government, a favorable judiciary one, a favorable rules.
Representatives Quick, Hunter, Galliard, and Clemens, Hospital 698, release body worn dashboard camera videos.
Referred to rules.
Representative Pickett, Everett Setzer, and Cooper Suggs, Hospital 699, elder abuse and neglect, increased punishment.
Referred to family, children, and aging policy, a favorable judiciary 2, a favorable rules.
Representative Graham, Hospital 700, bring back inmate litter crews.
Referred to transportation, a favorable rules.
Representative Graham, Hospital 701, state recognition support funds.
Referred to appropriations, a favorable rules.
Representative Insco, Moffitt, Ager, and Harrison, Hospital 702, NC food, state food, lab food waste, COVID-19.
Referred to appropriations, a favorable rules.
Representatives Belt, Quiet, Lambeth, and Kearney, Hospital 703, breast cancer diagnostic imaging parity.
Referred to health, a favorable rules.
Representatives Howard, Moffitt, Warren, and Setzer, Hospital 704, local option sales tax flexibility.
Referred to finance, a favorable rules.
Representatives Everett, Turner, Cooper, Suggs, and Galliard, Hospital 705, set $15 minimum wage first responders.
Referred to the Committee on Rules, messages from the Senate, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 85, Committee Substitute Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to allow vision service plans to make technical and conforming changes to Chapter 58 of the General Statutes.
Referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 241, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill entitled to amend motor vehicle laws to regulate modified utility vehicles.
Referred to the Committee on Transportation, if favorable, rules.
Senate Bill 435, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide notice for expiration and termination of local prohibition restrictions in state of emergency.
Referred to the Committee on Rules, Representative Davis recognized, sent forth the Judiciary 1 Committee Report.
Representative Davis, Judiciary 1 Committee Report, House Bill 531, Timeshare Act Changes, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House.
House Bill 531, re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. Representative Hurley is recognized, sent forth Education, Community, College Committee Report.
Representative Hurley, Education, Community, College Committee Report. House Bill 661, CC Fire Training, 15 years old, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House.
House Bill 661, re-referred to Rules.
House Bill 349, Traffic Control Training Program, Federal Committee Substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar rights committee substitute for House Bill 349, re-referred to Committee on Rules. Representative Torbitz recognized, sent forth State Government Committee Report.
Representative Torbitz, State Government Committee Report. House Bill 447, the Jeff Reg Law, Patient Religious Rights, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 447, re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 554, designate 2023 is year of the trail. Favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 554, re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 359, driver eligibility certificate, license waiver, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to transportation.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar whereas can be substitute for House Bill 359, re-referred to the Committee on Transportation. Clerk will suspend. Great work, Amy, voting clerk for the House of Representatives. Representatives Rogers and Zachary recognized to send forward Judiciary 3 Committee Report. Clerk will read.
Representative Rogers and Zachary, Judiciary 3 Committee Report. House Bill 620, update ALJ Code of Conduct, favorable and re-referred to regulatory reform.
House Bill 620, the Chair strikes this year referral to the Committee on Regulatory Reform, and the bill is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House.
House Bill 33, broaden applicability of DV statutes, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 33, re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 607, LEO background checks, FBI wrap-back services, favorable Committee substitute. I'm favorable to the bill and be referred to state government.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 607, referred to Committee on State Government. Representative Davis recognizes the Senate Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Davis, Judiciary 1 Committee report, House Bill 304, Protect Personal Info, LEOs, Judges, DAs, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 304, referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 615, Juvenile Court Mental Health Assessments, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill, and referred to Health.
House Bill 615, the original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute will be referred to the Committee on Health. Representative Richardson Stevens recognized sent forth Judiciary 2 Committee report.
Representative Richardson Stevens, Judiciary 2 Committee report, House Bill 427, Firearms Safe Storage Awareness Initiatives, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 427, referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 522, Modified Services, Release of Alternative Jurors, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 522, referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 327, Update Legislative Review of Rules Process, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 327, referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 404, Immunity for 9/11 Dispatchers, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 404, referred to the Committee on Rules. Representative Richardson Stevens recognized sent forth additional Judiciary 2 Committee report.
Richardson and Stevens, Judiciary 2 Committee report, House Bill 585, failed to report crime privilege exemption, favorable committee substitute, and favorable reads the bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 585, referred to the Committee on Rules. Reading of a representative statement, the clerk will read.
A representative statement, National Third of the Animal Day. Whereas Pet Partners is the national leader of demonstrating and promoting the health and wellness benefits of animal-assisted therapy, activities, and education. And whereas Pet Partners designated April 30th National Therapy Animal Day to recognize all the exceptional therapy animals and partners with their human companions to bring comfort and healing to those in need. And whereas therapy animal teams play an essential role in improving human health and well-being through the human-animal bond throughout the state. And whereas therapy animal teams make millions of visits per year in settings such as hospitals, nursing homes, schools, hospice facilities. And whereas therapy animal teams interact with a variety of people in the state, including veterans, seniors, patients, students facing literacy challenges, and those approaching the end of life. And whereas therapy animal teams deserve to be saluted for their service to residents of this state. Now, therefore, it is important to applaud therapy animals and their human handlers on National Therapy Animal Day to acknowledge the vital role they play in our society. A witness whereof the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 20th day of April, 2021, submitted by Representative Pricey Harrison, James White, House Principal Clerk.